Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever time it may be. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Positivity Spartans. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Isaiah Hubbard back again with my host Marcellus James. And I'm joined today by a very special guest, one of the original Spartans, man. My man Nick. What's up, bro? What's going on, dog?
What's up, Hub? What's up, Marcellus? I'm happy to be here. I saw you had Tron on just a couple episodes ago. It was nice to hear him and his voice and what he's up to. So hopefully I could bring the same energy as he did. And then, you know, we share some positivity.
Absolutely, dog. Absolutely, man. You know, I'm uber excited to have you on, dog. Cause I mean, like, not only were you a co-host, you were my very first guest on the podcast.
That's crazy, man. You know, coming up to this, I was kind of thinking, I was like, damn, I remember last time, and I remember some of the stuff we talked about. I was like in the midst of going vegan, and like on your show is where I was like, all right, you know what, no more turkey. And yo, Hub, I'm telling you, I didn't eat turkey after that, bro.
Yo,
I was true to y'all.
Ever since then, Hub just dropped it.
Yeah, I mean, I eat meat again, but that definitely started my vegan journey.
Right.
After that, I even went raw for weeks at a time.
Okay.
Here and there, a week here and a week there. So it was when we were doing this last time, it was definitely a fun time in life. You know, just out there trying new things.
Absolutely, bro. And that's really what it was, man. And that's what brought Positivity Spartans to life. You know, just trying new things. Because I mean, like y'all know, I talked about it before. I was like, yo, I'm gonna start a podcast. You know, I'm gonna start a podcast, and then boom, it was like. It was time to get it, and then the birth of the Spartans. But my man, so like you said, it's been a while. You mean about 2 years since you've been on the show, man? What's up? What's new in life, man? How's everything going? You have a beautiful son. Congratulations to you and your lady, bro.
It.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man. Talk to us, man. What's new in life?
Yeah, man. So after we started the show. Shortly after that, I mean, we were doing this 2 years around this time. I've been getting the memories on Facebook,
right.
You know, of us sharing the episodes. Shortly after that, 2 years ago, two August ago, I started massage school. Went through that. So I've been really owning my career as a body worker. Still super into fitness, super into just health and wellness in general,
right.
And it's honestly just a goal of mine to be extremely well-rounded in the field, because I feel like we've kind of been taught to be reductionist, and I heard this from another gentleman on one of my friend's podcasts, and he's actually he's from Iran.
Okay.
And it's a view from someone outside of our country, obviously, but he just explained how America tends to be reductionist, you know, and we get so hyper-focused on one topic. You know, you want a major, when you go and become a doctor, you're like, all right, I'm going to go be a kidney doctor or a foot doctor, you know?
Right.
And I just feel like when you become so zoomed in on a topic, you have trouble connecting dots when it comes to the bigger picture. So it's just taking pride in knowing a little bit of everything and understanding how things relate. So as a body worker, you know, trying to understand nutrition and understanding movement and understanding fitness and understanding mental health, and because it all goes together, and to be healthy, you got to know them all.
Bro, I love that, man. I knew bringing you on the show was great, bro, because you always drop gems like that, man. I think it's so underrated to be well-rounded. You know what I mean? Because everybody they give it nicknames like a jack of all trades, but a master of none.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
And
you know,
and,
the Renaissance man. They say there's no such thing as a Renaissance man anymore.
Right, things like that, man. But in my eyes, in my perspective, and like you just said, you know. You have to know all aspects, like, of your field. You should know all aspects of it, so that way you can relate and connect the dots from a bigger picture, just like you said, man. Because it's, I mean, for example, in the computer world, you know what I mean? Like, doing IT, you first learn how a computer works physically before you even turn the thing on. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't know how the internals work, You know what I'm saying? You're not going to have an understanding of how the computer overall works. You feel me?
Right. Yeah, no, for sure.
And it's the same thing, you mean, in your profession, your field. That's so dope, bro. That is so dope, man.
Yeah, it took me a long time to figure out. And last time we spoke, I'm pretty sure I had recently finished my life coach certification.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I don't do anything with it specifically, like targeting clients to coach, but I can't tell you the impact it's had in my bodywork career, as far as, you know, when you get someone on the table and they go into that parasympathetic mode, that rest and digest, you know, they lose a filter, you know, and then they just start spewing things. You know, if they're a talker, they might just start spewing things that, if you're not socially aware or emotionally aware, it might make you extremely uncomfortable, you know?
Right.
So a lot of the time when you get someone on the table, a body work session could very easily turn into an event session. I mean, a lot of the time people come to get a massage because they're stressed, you know?
Right.
You might need to charge extra for that, Nick.
I hear that, man. You know, down the road, I think that it could definitely become a part of the menu, you know, for right. sure.
Yeah. I mean, you work for the certification, and at the same Absolutely. Time, you're giving a therapy session. So that's mental and physical all in one.
Absolutely, man. I hear that. And that's definitely something to take into consideration.
For sure.
It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to sell than one would think. Maybe it's me. Maybe I just wasn't completely gung-ho on it, you know, and I didn't believe in it 100%. Not that I don't believe in talking to people and venting and having that sort of therapy, because I'm an advocate for that.
Right.
But I just feel like if you don't have, like, LMC behind your name, if you're not, like, a licensed mental coach, a licensed mental LMH, so a licensed mental health coach, or something along those lines. Like, if you don't have the letters, like, people just kind of discredit you, you know, which is super unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because I've met some great life coaches that, you know, that's what they have. And they bring a lot to the table, but part of the industry just gets overlooked because, like I said, they don't have the letters. But, hey, maybe that'll change soon, too. You know,
right. Right. And I think it will, because I think you know, I think we're in the age of independence. And I don't say that as like individual independence. I say that as in people are building their brand independently. You know what I mean? Like more and more people are able to, you know, come up without the backing of, you know, like you said, having the letters behind their name, even degrees. You know, we're seeing sort of that transition where experience is more valuable than a piece of paper. You know what I mean? And no credit, no discredit to anybody that's going to college, you know. Some people are, that's just not for me. You know, big ups to anybody who's done it, but, you know, we're seeing that shift where, you know, you can sort of make your own name today.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. I love that hub. That's money.
You know what I mean? I try to keep it in the bank. you know, it's crazy, man. And, I don't think I got to tell y'all today's topic. It is, sustaining and maintaining, you know, being a positive mindset. And I've been watching The Last Dance because it's on Netflix now. And, bro, like, I've been binge watching it. And a quote stood out to me today. Yeah, a quote stood out to me today from Michael Jordan. He said, it starts with hard work and it ends with champagne. And I was like, yeah. And what's crazy is, man, like, We knew Michael Jordan, right? So we grew up in the era, you know, 1992. Most of us were born. Mac, I think you were, what, 94?
Mm-hmm. 93.
93. Okay, so yeah, 92, 93 era. We're all the same era. So we knew of Michael Jordan, but we didn't really know all the things that, like, Mike had to go through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I tell that to people all the time. I'm like, of course I know who Jordan is, but I would be lying to you if I said that I watched him and I got to experience his career.
Right, right.
All right.
And what's crazy is The Last Dance, you know, exposes a lot of Michael off the court, you know, the things he faced, some of the battles that, you know, he had to go through. And it's just crazy how, you know, I mean, no matter throughout everything that he goes through, the entire interview, anytime it comes to the game, it was about the game. You know what I'm saying? He was able to sustain and maintain that focus that energy, that drive, that passion that he had for the game, and was able to dominate night in and night out, even when he had the flu, or, you know, the flu, the hangover game, the food poisoning game, whatever you want to call it. but you know what I mean? And I just wanted to, and it's funny that I seen that episode today because, you know, I mean, me and the guys, we playing these episodes, you know what I mean, like a month out. So for it to like line up like that, man, the universe is really just speaking to me today and it's telling me how important it really is to maintain and sustain that mindset once you reach where you want to be. Cause you know, it's easy to get there. Keeping it is the hard part. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then
I feel like that's the case for a lot of things, you know, like even you set a goal X, you know what I mean? And then you accomplish goal X and you're like, all right, I accomplished it. And then you just kind of like let it fade away. You know what I mean? Like you don't work to stay at goal X, you know, regardless of what it is. Yeah. You want to lose 30 pounds, right? You lose 30 pounds. And then once you lose the 30 pounds, you know, it's like you've lost your purpose almost. And then you put 10 back on or you put 15 back on.
Right. You know? Right.
So, I hear you there.
And then, you know, and it's of no fault to our own, but, you know, and then sometimes we tend to compensate with like, oh yeah, well I did lose 15 instead of the 30, you know, we start to get complacent.
Yeah. I think people do that all the time when they come from, cause they spend so much time, say you spend, you know, 3, 4, 5 years trying to get to that goal and then they finish it. And then it's just that, okay, what's next? They don't think about after.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot, like where the mindset comes into play, because if you don't plan, okay, after that, I get to this goal, I get to the next goal. I mean, of course you can drink your champagne for a while, but you can't drink your champagne forever, you know?
Absolutely. You
have to fix that next goal.
Absolutely, bro. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. That bottle of champagne runs out eventually, and then you got to do something else to get your next bottle of champagne.
You feel me? Right. You gotta keep that hunger, man. And it's not easy. It's not easy keeping that hunger. I mean, if I'm gonna keep it 100, I mean, I started seeing success with the podcast and started seeing it was real cool, started feeling good about it, and then I just kind of lost interest in it, if I could be honest. I mean, but you know, I mean, it's part of the process, you know. There's a saying in I might be off on the numbers, but I think it's like 21 days makes it a habit, 90 days makes it a lifestyle. Whereas if you do something consistently for 21 days, it'll become a habit. But if you do that same thing consistently for 90 days, it'll become part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, but think about how easy it is to break that.
Yo, that's why I said consistent. 21 consecutive days. Have you ever been to the gym for a straight month consecutively, no days off?
I usually add in a rest day, I'm gonna be honest.
Right, Nick.
What'd you say, Marcel?
I said I usually add in a rest day.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, so I've done it one time in my life. I always add in the rest days. I mean, I can't tell you the importance of rest, you know?
Absolutely.
But at one point in the gym, I picked up a program where it was 30 straight days of squats.
Okay.
And so it was different squats every day. Like there was lunge squats, there was regular squats, sumo squats, front squats, but it was squatting every day. So yeah, I have, and it's, I tell you what, I don't think I squatted for a little bit after that. So
I was sick of it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just goes to show, you know what I mean, how much discipline it takes, you know what I'm saying? When you think about it, you know what I mean, two out of three of us are veterans here or have served in the you know what I mean, in some capacity. And you know, for those 90 days, for those 3 months we're in hell, man, basic training, it's every single day up at 4 or 5 AM, even on Sundays. Every single day. And then it comes to the point where it's just second nature. I don't know about you, but by the end of basic training, man, I was having fun just because, like, I was, like, it became a lifestyle. You know what I mean?
By the end.
I was having fun. By the end, for sure. By the end, for sure. I hated it, dog.
I had a good old time. It was like summer camp with guns. And I was getting paid for it. This is my first job, y'all. Okay, no.
He said this is first.
That's funny.
First
day. Okay, three meals a day? Shelter?
I actually can relate to y'all on this point. In the in-between hub, actually, I mean, last time we did the podcast, I was working. I used to do electrical work.
Yes.
And we did government facilities. So I was actually at Parris Island for 6 months. So I got to see two groups, you know, start and finish.
Right. They're full cycle.
And I remember, like, you know, we weren't supposed to talk to them and they weren't really supposed to talk to us. But, man, I remember being on a ladder and just kids saying, hey, man, can you just please tell me something about college football? Or tell me something about football, man, please. And then you would tell them someone got traded. They're like, no way. Oh, my God, that is crazy. You know? So, I know it's quite the experience. I saw guys having fun there, and I saw guys that I didn't know if they were going to make it through another night. But yeah, it takes balls. I saw that and I was like, yeah, that's not for me at all.
It's different, man. It's real different. And it's funny that you mentioned the sports thing, man, because one thing I always remember about basic training, and like I can always clock the time in my basic training because I missed the NBA Finals matchup of Dirk Nowitzki and LeBron James. I will always, I had to read that in a letter from my dad. Yeah, so yeah, Dirk Nowitzki beat LeBron. I was like, what?
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like mind blown.
That's when he hit like 100 consecutive free throws in the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah, he broke a record in that playoff thing.
Water from the line, and he really was playing out of the world.
Oh my goodness, out of his mind. Before Steph Curry, Dirk Nowitzki is the only player who shot like never touched the rim. You know what I mean? Like it was always just flash. You know what I'm saying? Right. And you know what's crazy? Dirk Nowitzki actually almost didn't come to the NBA. I don't know if y'all didn't know this or not, but he almost did not come to the NBA because he had a scrimmage against like a Team USA squad. And then you know what I mean, they were just playing so physical and everything, he considered not even coming to the NBA.
Mm.
Could you imagine? I mean,
if
he'd have gave up right there, you know what I mean? If he'd have stopped, if he'd have never kept working on his jumper, if he'd have never put on size, if he'd have never did the things that made him uncomfortable to get him comfortable in those situations, could you imagine the landscape of history now of the NBA? That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy.
LeBron might have another ring.
You know what I mean? He might.
So I would say, I want to ask you guys, what set up what your current positive mindset is, like what would be one or two things that kind of got you in to look more positively when you approach things?
That's a good question.
Yeah, honestly, so like you said, Hub, it's funny that you reached out to me in the time that you did. Think over the past week I've come to some realizations, you know. Pretty much that I'm coming up short as to who I am and who I want to be. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, I feel like where I'm at in life is sort of the ending of a chapter to open up into another chapter.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years have really been a growth. You know, I started a new job, or I got a new career. I got off the road. I got a lady. She has two kids, so I'm learning how to play bonus dad and how to be a family man. And then we have our son. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Congrats!
A new job. Yeah. So it like emotionally, everything. It's been a lot. You know, a lot of changes. We bought a house last November.
Congrats.
So I feel, right. I appreciate it. Thank you. So I feel like everything, it's like, all right, you, prior to now, I was becoming this person so I can get to the next person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So over the past month, I would say I've been feeling a little disconnect with myself, right? and my mindset has struggled, and I've struggled to stay positive. Always, you know, having that voice in the back of my head, telling me, and then being like, honestly, I think positivity and being optimistic is just who I am at a very like deep level. I'm always looking for the silver lining. I don't know how to just feel bad about something. If something bad happens, I'm just like, okay, well, what's the good in it?
Right.
And I don't know if I've been like that for as long as I can remember. But I know when I finished high school, man, I dove into some self-help books, and it was at a point in my life where I was impressionable, and those things made an impression, and I've been able to sort of make those things a part of me. So to answer your question, Marcellus, I kind of feel like some foundational things I did after I graduated, as far as reading self-help and understanding that the mind can be very deceitful unless you take control of it. So,
Zay, what about you?
You know, repeat the question one time, just so I can make sure I'm answering this correctly.
So, pretty much, what sparked up? Like, what are one or two things that sparked up your current positive mindset that you have?
Okay, it's a little hard for me to just wrap it up into one or two things, because honestly, I would say my personal experiences in life up until this point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've had a good life. There was some struggle in life. You know what I mean? I wasn't fed with a silver spoon, you know what I mean? But I didn't want for anything, you know what I mean? So I've always been able to, I guess, appreciate what I have. But more so, I would say when I joined the military and I was deprived of a lot of things that I had access to all the time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like indoor plumbing, for example. You know what I mean? And and Nick, you might remember I said this like a while back. Cold showers are a character. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, they do.
It was the middle of winter. You know what I mean? There was no hot water. I was, you know what I mean, don't ask me how, but you know what I mean, it's hot in the tube, but it's cold outside, so you wake up sweating, and it's like you need that shower, and it's just like, yo, that cold water, you're going to get in there and you know you got to do what you got to do and you got to get out. And that, you know what I mean? You just start applying that to every day.
Or the fact that, like, you got to get up to go pee in the middle of the night. You're like,
man, what? Man, what? Oh, my goodness. Because, yeah, you can't just, you know what I mean? Go to the bathroom. You got to put on your clothes, everything, man. So I guess, you know what I mean? My experiences in life, you know, I've had near-death experiences. So, I mean, you know, I'm grateful for every day that I wake up, and I noticed I'm the happiest when I motivate others because it motivates me. So I just focus on that daily. I mean, that's really, I guess you could say my experiences in the Army is kind of what sharpened and really awakened my positive aspect of life. And it was, don't get me wrong, it wasn't always sunshine and rainbows. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll admit all the time on any episode, you know what I mean? I've gone through depression, you know what I mean? Yeah, I have anxiety, you know what I mean? Not saying I'm human, but you know what I mean? I know that it could always be worse, you know what I mean? Some people look at the glasses half empty, some look at it as half full. I'm just happy there's water in that thing.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what about you, Marcel?
Yeah, that was such a great question.
I would say, honestly, my upbringing, like one of my earliest memories was us living in a shelter. And like, to me, it was great because it was a playground there. Like,
right.
So I could walk out the door and be a playground there. But like, mentally, I never put in my mind, like, we're poor. Like, we were never poor in my mind because I had my mom, I had my brother. Right. Like, I was rich at that point because of them. And, like, no matter what was going on, I always had my family. I always had my mom, always provided for us. And my stepdad came in for as long as I could remember. So, like, no matter the situation we were in, we were still good ourselves. Like, we lived in a terrible neighborhood, but our family was solid. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, just living through live growing up poor, technically, and seeing all of the things going on around me and knowing that I can control what I think about the world, although I can't control the cards I was dealt, always kept me in a positive mindset for whatever I could do.
Man, I dig that, bro. That is so, that's like beautiful, man. For real, for real.
Cause I feel like when you, well, it's my bad, Hub. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, I feel like when you come from an environment like that, you know, where you don't have a lot, because I come from the same environment, you know, mom worked, grandma raised me. We had a roof over our heads and we had food, you know, but I'm a government assistance baby, you know, welfare, Section 8. Food stamps, the whole nine, you know?
Right.
So, you know, growing up like that, I knew we didn't have a lot, but I always say, you know, my mom and my grandma, they showed me the most important lesson I think that life has to offer, and that's how to love and how to be loved, you know? And when you're able to love and when you accept love from other people, regardless of the circumstances, it's hard to stay down.
Yeah.
Right. Man, you know, it's good. You say that, and, you know what I mean? Shout out to our moms, you know what I mean? Because, like,
word up.
they go through it, man. Because for as long as I can remember, my mom was, she was a happy person. If my mom was angry, yo, you better watch out. You know what I mean? And that's so tough to do, you know what I mean? Being a single mother of three, you know what I'm saying? Like, so shout out to our moms, man. Shout out to our moms. As always. But I wanted to ask y'all, what are some things, you know what I mean, when it comes to, you know what I mean? So not everybody may have achieved that that mindset that they want to be on. You know what I mean? They're still trying to figure out how to, you know what I mean, attain that happiness, because happiness is, in my definition, happiness is what you want and what you can make possible.
It's relative.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. It's like time. Time is relative. Happiness is relative. You know what I mean? It's all about you and how you make the best of your situation. But what are some things, you know, when you get into that good mindset where you wake up feeling like, yeah, I could take on the world today. What are some things that you guys do to help keep that momentum going?
I think you want to go ahead, Marcel?
Nah, you could go because I'm good.
I was just gonna say, if you wake up feeling good, I think it's important. I mean, it's important to do more things that make you feel that way.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So keep the momentum going. Like for me, I could really enjoy, like, I love my morning cup of coffee, you know, and I might, if I don't have the little man with me, I might go outside and swing some meal or swing some Indian clubs or swing the mace, you know?
Right.
Like, lately, that's been my happy place.
Okay.
So, if I wake up feeling good and I have the opportunity, or if Andreas goes down for a nap nice and early in the morning, I know I got about 45 minutes, an hour, that's kind of how I like to spend that time, you know? And, yeah, so I would just say, if you wake up feeling good, if you have the time, continue and do something else that you know you enjoy, just right, to build the momentum and see if you can keep the ball moving.
Gotcha. That's definitely, I agree with that 100%, man.
Yeah. For me, I would say, like, I'm a morning person, so if I wake up, I got to do something active first, and then that sets my whole day off. And if I know I reach, like, a personal best during that workout or, you know, something along those lines, then, like, I'm pretty set for the day, because I'm like, oh, I just woke up. I already accomplished three things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go into my day and just keep it moving, keep it going, and just try to, whatever negative things happen, I just throw something positive back at it.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I think I'm gonna edit my answer. I think doing something you enjoy or doing something productive, mm-hmm. you know, like the military, they teach y'all to make your bed every morning. You know right. what I'm saying? And I'll tell you what, that I've there are very few days that I leave the house without making the bed, unless I'm just like stupid. I feel stupid busy and I just never, very few days. But the days that I do make the bed, I'm like, all right, what's next? There's dishes in the sink. Like, all right, there's some things laying around the house. I gotta fold some blankets. Oh, I left laundry in the back, you know? That's, you do one productive thing and it just kind of makes you want to do another one. I think that's how it is for me at least.
Right.
It's kind of addictive.
It really is.
Yeah, for sure.
It really is.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, mentally it is addictive. You're probably getting some sort of hit of dopamine by accomplishing something.
Right.
You know, so you get that dopamine hit and then you're going to look for the next dopamine hit. You're like, all right, well, I just completed one task that gave me a dopamine hit. I'm going to go complete another one and hopefully get another dopamine.
Right. And then next thing you know, you boom, boom, boom.
Right. Checklist done for the day.
Right.
11:30.
Right. Yeah. Right. The DMV was on time today.
That's a good ass day right there, man, bro. Well,
oh my goodness. You know, for me, man, I think I'm so of my five love languages, you know, my number one is words of affirmation. So I always try to just, you know what I mean, just uplift people through word. You know what I mean? I send text messages to my people. I mean, I send text messages to my family. I'm like, yo, just a simple good morning. Yo, happy you have a great week on a Monday type thing, you know? I do things like that because it always makes me, you know, it makes me feel good when, you know what I mean, when people think about me, when people reach out to me randomly. So I want to do the same thing for others. You know what I'm saying? As well as paying it forward. I love to pay it forward, man. Don't ask me why, but I always feel like if I'm blessed by the universe in some way, I always feel like it's an opportunity to pay it forward. Even something small. Like, I went to get my oil changed the other day and like, I forgot I had to get an inspection because my tag is going to expire soon. So I pulled back around. I was like, hey man, I forgot I need an inspection. So he's like, all right, yeah, pull in the garage. Boom, boom, boom. I did what I did. And he was like, oh, yeah, let me see your license. Gave my license. He came back. He said, you're good to go. I said, how much are you? He said, you're good to go. I was like, all right, cool. He gave me the receipt and everything. So I was like, all right, $10. So, I reached out to somebody who needed needed an inspection. And I cashed them $10. Why? Because I was blessed. Right. So why not bless somebody else's day? Because that's what makes me feel good. You know what I mean?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
That's definitely good stuff. That's love. It's so selfless, bro. And you know, when you're coming from a place of selflessness, like literally only good things can happen.
Yeah, absolutely, I mean, man. Absolutely.
As long as you're doing it with the right intent behind it without expecting something in return back. Again.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you're doing it with a clear conscience and you're doing it from, you know, it's stemming from kindness, you can't lose, bro.
Never. Never. And I'd never sell out for clout, man. Never. I do way more good deeds than I will ever tell y'all.
Right.
I'll never sell out for clout, man. Cause that's just, I, like you said, it's selfless. I do it from a place of love. Cause I feel like we need more of that in the world.
I'm just a firm believer of karma at the end of the day. Like, I firmly, firmly believe whatever you do to somebody, that same energy comes back on you at some point in your life. So,
right. And karma is a great way, you know what I mean, to almost describe how to maintain that positive energy, man. Because once good stuff keeps happening, just keep doing good stuff. Keep doing good shit. You know what I mean? Just like,
right.
Like, just get the ball rolling, and for some reason, it just seems to build on your life. It's crazy how much changing your mindset can change your entire perspective of life and change your entire life. Now, it might not happen overnight. If it happens overnight, I need you on the podcast so you can tell me your secret. But, you know what I mean? Like, it'll happen. You know what I mean? You just gotta, as some great Philadelphians say, you gotta trust the process.
Yeah, for sure.
Just throw some 76ers lingo.
Speaking right. Like Joel Embiid, the historical figure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? real philosophical in here.
Yeah, nah, I like that, Hub. I agree, man. I agree.
But on another note, man. So I noticed you picked up some new hobbies, Nick.
Yeah, I feel like I always got a new hobby. What are we referring to?
So, I'm not entirely sure what it is, man, but you know, you got the clubs and you're doing the motion. You know what I mean? And
yes.
So explain that to me, man, because I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of interested.
Okay. So what you see me swinging, I posted things swinging, and really I just do IG stories right now. I've been failing a lot, but I've been trying to stay away from social media.
it's tough.
But so I've been doing some IG stories. What I'm swinging in those stories, I've posted swinging the steel mace, which is an ancient form of strength training. I've posted swinging Persian meals, which is modern day Iran, but the Persian meals is part of a Persian yoga system where they use five things, I believe, and ancient warriors and wrestlers from modern day Iran used it, but really the culture has has spread over the Middle East and it's spread even further now. But what you see me swinging are actually what's supposed to be, I believe, the third stage of Persian yoga, where you're swinging these larger clubs. They're real wood. They weigh about 6 kilograms, which is 3 kilograms, which is about 6.6 pounds.
Okay.
And really, the purpose for them is, like, literally, it's endless. To just skim over it, because I could literally talk about this for a long time. Just to skim over it, you know, you're with the meal specifically, the clubs, the mace, you're really targeting shoulder health. You're going to let your thoracic spine, so you have three parts of the spine, your cervical, which is really your neck, you have the thoracic, which is your upper back, and then your lumbar, which is your lower back. naturally, our thoracic spine should have like this extension, which is like an opening, you know. So you see a lot of guys want to walk with their chest out, you know what I mean, and like their shoulders back, and what they're doing is they're generally speaking they're extending their spine. So that's kind of what those things are doing. They're promoting I don't want to say they're promoting healthy movement is what they're doing. So when you're swinging them, the movement that is needed to swing them is what you would consider, I believe, beneficial. T-spine extension, you're not rounding the shoulders or rounding your back. You know, you see some of the older population walking around a little hunched over and they got like that dowager's hump around their neck.
Right.
That's like a direct counter. You're going to have healthy shoulders. Your shoulders are going to do what they're supposed to do. You're learning how to transfer weight instead of just like, you know, when you're in the gym and you're doing these linear movements, sometimes you're just kind of throwing weight around and then catching weight, you know, and it's extremely hard on the joints. With the swings, you want to transfer weight and make the movement look fluid.
Okay. Right?
And it's also meditation, man. When you got everything going and, you know, you're throwing the meal over the shoulder good and you're getting a good swing, your chest is out, you're bringing that elbow back down to your rib cage to that pivot point, you got your breaths going, you're integrating your lower half of the body, and it's just like a little dance. Next thing you know, a few minutes goes by and you're like, damn, I feel good. You know, I'm breathing, I'm right. Moving in a way that's beneficial for me, and it's promoting healthy movement into my later years. Literally, the benefits are endless. And once you start, if you go on Instagram, I'll have to tag you in some.
Yeah, for sure.
There's some dudes that are swinging some big fucking clubs. I'm talking about, like, you know, dude, like things you're like, holy shit. Like they have to stand on something because the club, there's another one called the Jori, Jori. And sometimes the jaws can be so long that they have to stand on something so the jaws don't hit the floor while they're swinging them.
Oh, wow.
I mean, these things go in up into insane weights. The steel mace, I've seen Tom Bilodge, Bilodge, I forget how to pronounce his last name. I saw an Instagram video of him swinging a 65-pound one.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're getting into weights like that, you're packing muscle.
Yeah.
And another big benefit is just like I touched on it earlier briefly, just multi-planar movement. So your movements are happening on multiple planes. You have movement behind you, you have movement to your side, you have movement in front of you, you know? Whereas if you're just on the bench press, we're doing a linear movement, the weight's in front of us and the weight's traveling on one line.
Right.
Whereas the meal is actually going in a complete circle of some sort in some form.
Okay. So it's like it's a different movement for your body. A more healthy, healthy movement.
Overall, yeah, more healthy movement. It's going to teach you some very foundational things, you know, you'll be able to rotate your torso without rotating your hips.
Gotcha.
You know, like those things are separate, but we put our body under so much stress and so much tension that it starts compensating, and then your torso is, you pulled something in your back, so you can't turn over to look on the left side, right? You're trying to change lanes in a car. You pulled something, you really can't look to your left. Right. So what are you going to do? You're going to use your hips to sort of add to the movement and get the range of motion that you're looking for. So our culture also, our society and what we do for work, I mean, we're constantly just hammering bad movement habits into everyone's daily lives. Sitting down, working in front of you, computer, tools, whatever it may be. You know, those things aren't beneficial long term. I mean, I understand we have to do them, but it's just all the more reason to counter them and do the things you have to do to stay healthy and moving.
Absolutely. You don't have to be a bodybuilder, man, but you gotta respect thy temple.
Absolutely. You know, what's your goal? I work on bodybuilders. I just had a bodybuilder last Thursday. You know, he's probably late 60s. He doesn't compete anymore, but the dude's in pain. I mean, my man's shoulders, he couldn't even get them over his head.
Ooh.
You know, just from how much stress he put his joints under, you know?
Yeah.
So if you want to bodybuild, I mean, that's great. You know, just know that you're probably going to pay the price for it when you're older, you know?
Right.
So personally, for me, my goal, I want to be in my 60s and 70s moving well, that people are like, man, how old are you?
Absolutely.
Dude, you're moving around like you're 45, you know? Yeah. So that's just my goal, especially with my son now. You know, I want to be able to compete with him even in my old age.
Right. I mean, always got to keep one up on your son, bro, always.
Build character.
Right.
Never let him win.
That mama mentality, you feel me?
Yeah.
No, that's dope, though, man. That is real dope.
Yeah, man. And I can't take I could take credit for the work I put in, sure, but honestly, I got some great people really showing me the way.
Absolutely.
Jonathan Fuentes, who I met at a continuing education class while I was still in school, he started posting, and he's been such a great resource for me, and he's kind of taken me under his wing, always willing to meet with me and swing and help me out on my form, and he's introduced me to other people who are just as willing as he is. So, you know, it's always a group effort, and I've been blessed to have some good people put in my life and who are willing to help.
Absolutely, man. I just recently started, you know what I mean, looking into, because you know what I mean, I'm a gym guy, but I've been looking to like alternatives, you know, keeping my body healthy, and I actually just started going to the chiropractor. So shout out to Dr. Brad McKenzie. That's my guy right there. You know what I mean? Because, yo, I started going to him, bro, and I be feeling at least, I mean, 2 to 3 inches taller every time I leave there, bro. And it's an awesome experience because, you know, when you feel good, you do good. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So when you feel good, you think good too.
Right. You know? So. It all coincides, man. It's all part of maintaining. Does.
We actually work with a chiropractor as well, and he sends injured clients. He comes to see me almost every week. And we have a partnership with them where we get free chiropractic care.
Mm-hmm.
And since our owner can't offer health insurance, she offers, we get a free monthly here at the studio. And then we get free chiropractic off at the office down the street with at Ignite Chiropractic with Dr. Serrano and his team. So yeah, it goes hand in hand with what I do. I'm an advocate of the chiropractor, and, especially good ones.
Right. Real good ones. Real good ones, man. Because you know you gotta take care of your body, take care of your mind, man. And it's so much easier. It's so much easier to think positive thoughts when your body feels good. I mean, I'm about to say, if you guys think otherwise, let me know. But that's
that's the truth. And the thing is, like, it's like chicken or the egg. You know, you don't know which one comes first. So if you're feeling down, there's a lot of different ways that you can approach yourself. I mean, you could just delve into the gym, you know, and worry about the physical aspect. And when you're working out, you're pumping cortisol, you're pumping adrenaline, you got those feel good hormones going through. So, you're bound to feel better. You know, if you want to approach yourself from like an emotional standpoint and go talk to a therapist, that's great too. You know, you get clarity and you feel better. You feel not alone. So there's multiple ways to sort of attack yourself if you are feeling down. Just pick one and run with it, and you know, do what your heart says. We there tends to be so many people are so disconnected with themselves that they don't even know what their mind or body's telling them. So I'm just saying, hey, stop for a minute. What do you feel? Don't think about what you feel. Just say what comes to your mind when I ask you what you feel.
Right.
You know, they're like, I need a break. I'm like, take a damn break then. You know, how do you want to take your break?
Right.
You know? I want to go for a walk. Well, go fucking take a walk then. You know? Go take a half hour.
Right.
You know, so I encourage my clients all the time. You know, do what feels good. Do what your body says. Do what you feel. And I just always try and reinforce that sort of connection with the self.
Absolutely, man. Because I mean, it all like the topic of the episode, you know what I mean? Maintaining the mindset. You got to maintain your body. You got to maintain it all. You know what I mean? It mind, body, spirit. I mean, we've all heard it more than once, man. But Nick, man, you've been dropping some crazy gems, man. Like, there's been a lot of growth. I can tell the growth from the last time we spoke, man. And I got to say, honestly, bro, I'm proud of you, man. I appreciate you. I mean, I just want to thank you so much for coming, I mean, back to Positivity Spartans and speaking to the people, man, because I know they love it as much as I loved it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It was a pleasure to be on here whenever you want me on. I'm always willing to share my ideas, what's going on in my head. Sometimes I have trouble sorting through them, but when I'm able to get them out, you know, I like to believe that they're grounding, that they're unbiased, that they're for everybody. So it's always a pleasure, man. And I love seeing what you're doing as well. Marcellus, you're one of my favorite people to see on social media. When I go on, dudes are always positive. And, you know, I've been tuning into the show, so it's nice to see you guys working and getting some episodes out there and spreading the positivity. Because, you know, it's 2 years later, but there's still no surplus in positivity. You know,
absolutely
you
not.
So keep it coming, man.
Absolutely not, man. I feel like we need it now more than ever, bro. You know, I feel like it was you who said, you know what I mean, we're the pioneers of positivity.
Who, me?
Yeah, I think you had said that. Or you had said, you mean we were pushing it to the forefront. It may have been
Yeah. It may have been, honestly, sometimes I say things and I don't even remember. seriously, guys, like my mind, like the lady would be like, you don't remember, Nick? I'm like, babe, what are you talking about? No, I don't remember. I'm not pretending not to remember. No, like I really don't remember, you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
We'll just leave that quote as anonymous, huh?
Right. Anonymous. The pioneers of positivity. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, positivity, prosperity, peace.